lady that had been sick for 12 years. She'd gone to doctor after doctor. She spent all of her money. She wasn't any better. She was just broke and still sick. But the Bible says that she came one day because she heard about Jesus. And she came to where there's a large crowd around him, and something in her mind said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed. And so she pressed her way through that crowd and somehow got to Jesus and touched that little blue ribbon that went around the bottom of his robe. And when she did that, there was a surge of strength and cleansing that went through her body. And she stood up, and for the first time in 12 years, blood ceased to flow. Strength and vitality surged in the place of weakness. And she began to realize, I have been healed. I don't know if it was her testimony. I don't know if it was just a common desire. But the Bible later says in the book of Matthew chapter 14, it said, and when the men of the place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased, besought him that he might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. I don't know if she started a trend. I don't know if it was a common thing, but I know that the Bible says that everybody that touched him was made whole. Amen. There's a place in the Bible that talks about a blind man, and they brought this blind man to Jesus, and they said, if you'll just touch him, he'll be all right. And the Bible says, I like this story. You know, the Lord is very considerate, a lot more than we are. Some of us, we get a preconceived idea about things, the way that it has to happen. Because it happened a certain way to me doesn't mean it's going to happen that way for somebody else. Amen. When you got the Holy Ghost, you might have been saying hallelujah, but somebody else may be getting it saying thank you, Jesus. I had an old uncle, and he said if I got to say, he'd heard people say glory, 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 and they'd get the Holy Ghost, you know, send glory. He said if I got to do that to get the Holy Ghost, I just ain't going to get it. Do you know what he was saying when he got the Holy Ghost? Yeah, that's what he's saying. Glory, glory, glory. Because the Lord heard him say, I'm just not going to. And he said, yes, you are, buddy. I'll take that starch out of you. Praise the Lord. So we touch God in a different way. Jesus took this blind man. He did something different. He took him outside the city by himself. And in that lonely locale, he touched his eyes. And he said, now can you see? And the guy said, I see men as trees walking. You know, in Bible times, I don't know if you've ever been to Israel, but you know, they just don't have a whole lot of trees over there. I mean, wood's kind of scarce. So there were people who made their living selling wood. And they would go out and they would gather up branches and pieces of wood, and they didn't have, they'd cart them on their back. And you know what they looked like? They looked like a tree walking. And so he said, all I can see is men as trees. You don't need to see people like trees. Amen, or dollar signs. You know what I like about Jesus? He sees people. You know, sometimes doctors, and I've heard this referred to as I've read about doctors at times, sometimes they'll say, well, oh yeah, yeah, he's the lymphoma. Oh yeah, that one's that one's he's the faulty aortic valve. And they refer to people as a disease. Then we refer to people by their occupation. Oh, he's the plumber. Or the electrician, or the veterinarian. But Jesus always sees people as people. He sees them as people. And so he wanted this man to see clearly. So he touched him again until he said, oh, now I see clearly. Amen. God really wants you to be able to see things as they are. But he touched him. Amen. And he could see. Now, I love this place in the Scripture. The Bible says that Jesus was in a certain place, and it says, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked and said to those that brought them not to do it. Rebuked them. Jesus said, oh, no, 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 no. Amen. Can you imagine some child, now an elderly man, telling the story all over again, the beautiful smile on his face of that day so long ago when his mother brought him to Jesus and he reached out and touched him, lifted him up, set him on his lap. And here he is so many years later, and that picture is still burned into his brain. I'll never forget a good man. I was a little boy, all 6 or 7 years old. And I would go visit my cousin's church. And every service, after service was over, I would make sure that I got close to Vernon Neely. Because it was a big church, but out of every adult in that church, I knew that Brother Neely would reach out and touch me and greet me and say something kind to me. Now, not everybody did that, but I knew Brother Neely would do that. And so after every service, I'd make sure that I got close to Brother Neely. Amen. You know, parents, what you need to be sure of is that you'll get your children close to Jesus and you get them here. So now I know it's not a physical thing, but they're in a service even like this morning. If you have any spirituality and sensitivity, you can feel Jesus in this place. The presence of the Lord is here, and your children can feel that. One of the ways that I really know that God is moving in a special way, it's when I see children begin to respond. I've watched it. I've watched children just scribbling away and coloring, and all of a sudden they'll stop. And they'll put their paper down. They just, all of a sudden, I've watched them with tears start running down their cheeks. Nobody says anything. But they sense the presence of the Lord. And that's the greatest gift you can give your child, is to let them be touched by Jesus and learn to respond to the touch of the Lord. There's nothing like that. It's one of the greatest gifts. I'll never forget it the longest day I live. My childhood experiences with the Lord. As I became a teenager, there were times the presence of the Lord was so real to me. We live 15 miles out in the country. I'd tell my mom and dad, I'd say, y'all just going home. I'm just going to stay around here today. Everybody would leave. And I'd just go into the church and go down to the altar, sit in the pews, just enjoy the presence of the Lord, because it was so real to me. And you know what? Here I am 40 plus years later, and it's just as real today. This is genuine, folks. Amen. It's the real thing. It's the real thing. Thank God for that touch today. That is so genuine, so real. There's nothing like the presence of the Lord. There's nothing like the presence of God. It's just the greatest thing. I saw a lot of things happen in Colombia when we were missionaries. Awesome, powerful services. I've seen blind people receive sight. Deaf people receive hearing. I've been in services where people would roll into the service in wheelchairs and nobody, no big deal, nobody out calling them out and laying hands on them and making a big ruckus out of it. But I've watched people stand up out of wheelchairs, reach down and fold it up and lift it up and pass it to the front of the crowd. Amen. Platform. I've watched it happen. Watch people come in on canes, just limping their way along. All of a sudden, begin to dance and jump and shout. And then they'd pass that cane to the front and said, I don't need that anymore. I watched all of that. But to me, one of the greatest miracles I ever saw was in Santa Marta. It was a schoolhouse. It wasn't a church. It was a schoolhouse. We were invited there to do it was a health seminar, but we worked church into it. We had some puppets, and we taught them about salvation, Acts 2:38. They could receive the Holy Ghost and baptism. And it came to the close, and we had about 20 minutes left. We had to be out of there. And we invited the children down to pray, and they came. And my, did they come. There was about 300 kids all down at the front. And, you know, it was amazing. We had a puppet show, and the kids came down, and they were pulling hair and making faces and giggling and acting like kids. But we got their attention, and we said, now, you know, we told you that you could get the Holy Ghost. How many want the Holy Ghost right now? And a bunch of them would raise their hand. We said, well, everybody close your eyes. Everybody. And they all closed their eyes. Say, well, lift up your hands. And just start telling Jesus how much you love him. And they did that. And all of a sudden, instead of pulling hair and giggling, they started worshiping. Now, these were not church kids. These were not Pentecostal kids. These were children that had never been in a Pentecostal church and had never seen anybody receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But that literally transformed in just a few minutes of time. And they became worshipers. And they some of them began to jump up and down. And you know what happened? Within a few moments' time, I don't remember, 120-something kids, I believe, if I remember correctly, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm just telling you, this is real today. This is as genuine as you can get. The presence of the Lord is so precious here today. It's difficult for me to even talk. Amen. He's so beautiful and so powerful, so precious in this place. Now, touching Jesus is one thing. But having the Lord touch you, that's something else. There was a great prophet one time by the name of Isaiah. And you may feel like Isaiah today. What happened? He got in the presence of the Lord. And he felt so unworthy. And he felt so unclean. And he felt so sinful. And he said, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. We're just foul. Amen. No matter how good you are, when you really get into the presence of a holy God, you're going to begin to sense unworthiness, uncleanness, impurities in your life. And the most spectacular thing happened. The Bible said suddenly this angel took, as it were, tongs and took a hot coal off of the altar of heaven and reached down and touched Isaiah's lips. And he said, this has cleansed you. Amen. I'm telling you, only Jesus can really make you feel clean. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? Do you remember when you came in the presence of the Lord and in total sincerity, you poured out your heart to God and repented of your sin and told God you were sorry and you didn't want to live like that anymore. Do you remember how clean you felt on the inside? I'll never forget that. 15-year-old boy, when I came and poured my heart out to God. Oh, and heaven cleansed me that day. I'll never forget that. I've said this many times. To me, that was just as precious and real as the day I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing like being cleansed by the Lord. Doesn't matter how deep your stain is. Doesn't matter how bad your sin is. Doesn't matter how serious. He can cleanse you today in a way that nothing else can do. You can confess it on a psychiatrist's couch and it won't do you much good. You can confess it to some friend or to some man and it's not going to do you much good. But if you'll take it to Jesus, I promise there's a touch that He has that can cleanse you like nothing else can cleanse you. Amen. He has a way of cleansing so deeply and so perfectly and so purely. There's nothing like it. Have you struggled with change in your life? I don't know about you, but I have actually asked the Lord. I have. I've said, God, would you just make me be good? Have you ever been that frustrated? You try, and you're not getting there, and you know you're not. I have. I've been so frustrated, I say, God, please just make me be good. But He won't. He'll help me, but He won't make me. There's a guy that he's a bad guy. Did a lot of bad stuff. And he was in between the proverbial rock and hard place. And he got in a situation where he actually got in a wrestling match with God. Now, who thinks you could win a wrestling match with God? There's only one way you can do it. That is if God wants you to win. And so he wrestled. And the Bible said that the Lord touched him. Isn't that amazing? Just touched him and threw his thigh out of joint. That must have been painful. But Jacob didn't stop. He kept wrestling. He said, that's not going to stop me. He just held on. That's not all he could do. Sometimes all you can do to God, just hang on. Just hang on. Matter of fact, one of my favorite descriptions really of the presence of God is that bumper sticker that says, get in, sit down, buckle up, shut up, and hang on. Amen. It's kind of that way with the Lord sometimes. You know? He's in control. You know? You're just along for the ride. So he was wrestling and he's out of joint. And the angel says, let me go, because it's daybreak. He said, oh no. He said, I'm not letting you go till you bless me. I got to have something. There's something so missing in my life. And until I get it, I got what I got. I got a hold of God now. And I'm not letting go till I get what I want. You know what? God cannot resist that kind of an attitude. You know, this attitude that comes, well, you know, you can bless me when you want to, God. You can give me the Holy Ghost whenever you get ready, God. And, you know, that's not an attitude He can do much with. But when you latch on to God and you get a hold of Him and you say, something's got to give here, God, and I'm not letting go until something changes. And God said, all right, what's your name? Jacob. Not anymore. He said, you're going to be called Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with. And He literally transformed the life of a man. And he can do that again right here today. God does that. God does that. You ever been discouraged? You know there's a cure for discouragement? How many remember Elijah? Remember Elijah? Man, what a... you've heard of the shootout maybe at the OK Corral. That ain't nothing compared to what Elijah did at Carmel. He called 850 prophets of Baal. And they all gathered. And he said, we'll find out who God is here today. On one side, Elijah. The other side, 850 prophets. We're going to find out if the majority is always right. And he said, now here's the rules, boys. He said, the God that answered by fire, that's God. He said, you go first. They prepared their sacrifice. They cried. They danced. They chanted. They carried on. They cut themselves with knives. They bled. They hurt. They sacrificed. Nothing happened. Elijah said, okay, here's my sacrifice. He said, all right. He said, well, first of all, I want you to bring some water and pour on it. They poured 12 barrels of water on it. Then he said a 61-word prayer. Fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. And the people said, Jehovah, he's God. Jehovah, he's God. Jehovah, he's God. But you know what happened? Just a few days later, the queen, Jezebel, got upset because all of her prophets, false prophets, were killed. She got all upset and she said, I'm going to kill Elijah. And you know what he did? This great man of God just had this wonderful manifestation. Started running for his life. He ran and he ran and ran. He got so tired. He crawled up under a juniper bush and he said, God, just go ahead and kill me. Poor me. You ever get in a pity party like that? Shake your head like this. He had a pity party. Oh, God, just kill me. I'm the only one left, God. Threw a big old pity party. You know what, God? He didn't kill him. He said, go to sleep. Sometimes all you need is some sleep. And he put him to sleep, and he slept a while, and an angel went down and touched him, woke him up, said, eat. Fed him, and said, go back to sleep. He slept again, and come back and touched him again, and said, now, eat this. A whole lot of things can be cured by rest and eating right. Amen. I don't know about you, but my poor little wife, she'll say amen to this, but sometimes when I don't eat right, I get grouchy. Now, that's a horrible confession, but it's true. Sometimes she tells me, you need to eat. Well, that's just a fact. I love my wife. She loves me. Amen. I appreciate her. I was coming home yesterday thinking about how much I appreciate my good wife. She's a jewel. But Elijah slept and ate. And you know what? The Bible said he went 40 days on the strength of what the Lord gave him there. Now, that's not an excuse to miss church for the next month. Praise God. Somebody said 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. I believe that. Amen. But you know, just because you get a touch, but there is a touch of God that can strengthen you to send you through whatever you need to get through for a long time. And I'm going to hurry along. I'm nearly through. I hope you're not quite through yet, because we're going to try to get through together here in a minute. Amen. Praise God. There's a touch that heals. Amen. One of my favorite incidents in the Bible, and it's not just a story, it happened. There was this leper that came to Jesus. Desperate. It's totally desperate. He acted so out of character for a leper. Lepers were supposed to run from people. It wasn't uncommon in Bible times, according to the historians, for people to throw rocks at them like dogs and drive them away. But this leper, the Bible said he came to Jesus. Why? Because he knew that he would be received. Amen. You see, that's the beautiful thing about the Lord, is he will receive you, not reject you. And so he just somehow knew he'd be received. So he came to Jesus, and this was what he said. He said, Lord, I know that if you will, I know that you can heal me. You get the order there? He said, if you will, I know that you can. See, he had a lot of faith in God's ability. He just didn't know if he cared enough. How do you communicate care and concern and compassion. Jesus didn't do it with words. The Bible says, and Jesus reached out and he touched him. It wasn't what he said. It was that touch that communicated so much. It meant, well, that answered my question. That answered my question. A million words couldn't have said what that one touch did. And the Bible said immediately when Jesus said, I will, the man was cleansed from all of his leprosy. And he began to go and tell everybody what Jesus had done for him. Amen. There's a touch of God that can do what nothing else can do. It's the touch of the Master's hand. Would you stand with me here today? I don't know what you may have been going through in your life lately. You can be surrounded by people, even good people. You can even be surrounded by a family that loves you and that you love. And there can still be something deep down on the inside that says, but something's missing. Amen. I enjoy the love of my family. Something's missing. There may be somebody here today that you've got a deep regret in your life. You've got something that every day haunts you, haunts your memory. You would so love to get rid of that. Amen. Find a place that it can be remedied and washed and cleansed. Well, you're in such a place right now. And there's one thing that will do it, and it's the touch of a Master's hand. Jesus is here right now, and he's ready to reach out and touch somebody in this house this morning. I would encourage you not to be embarrassed. Amen. If you could just slip up here to the front of this altar. By doing that, just saying, Jesus, I'd like to meet with you for a little while. Amen. I just like, if you would please, would you just reach down and touch me here in this service this morning? Amen. That's all I'm asking for is just a touch from the hand of the Lord. Somebody want that touch today? You would be honest enough with yourself about what's going on in your own heart, in your own life. Things may be going well, but still there's just something that you need. Things may not be going well. Everything may be topsy-turvy and turbulent in your life. You need some help. I'm inviting you today just to receive a touch. I can assure you that it can set things right for you. Even if the circumstances do not change today or tomorrow, maybe for a long time to come, still, that touch is enough to get you through. It'll get you through. Amen. Praise God. It's enough to keep you going. Not only keep you going, it'll help you to triumph. Live in a victorious, glorious fashion. I invite you. Amen. Oh, he touched me.